The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 566, recorded on March 10th,
566th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 399th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I'm TJ Dunzer.
I'm Scott Turk.
And I am Jonah Falta.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
So, NBA 2K20 went on Xbox Game Pass.
Oh yeah?
And it's fucking awful. It's even worse than I thought, and it got review bombed on Xbox Live. It has 1.2 average stars, but when I read the reviews, people are complaining about shit I don't care about. I don't care about online play and all that stuff. I care about the fact that the game is so distorted and so badly implemented for my career and other stuff, and my franchise has almost no documentation, and everything else has almost no documentation, and it's gotten to sleazy levels with a virtual currency. For example, you cannot sim games when you're playing My Career and earn VC. You will get no VC at all. Meaning they either want you to buy the virtual currency or grind like fuck.
Yeah, I hate games like that. I think a lot of people have complained about that kind of gameplay mechanic where you feel like you have to buy this currency, use your actual money to avoid doing this grind crap, which is boring. Or just, okay.
Let me give you an example. Do you know how many games are in an NBA season?
No.
82.
Wow.
And you have to do each of the practices if you want to get any sort of thing. So you can see, just trying to get through the rookie season is a fucking slog. And this is what really pisses me off. I hate each and every person who gave this game a negative review. Each and every fucking one of them. Because most of them actually paid for this shit. You dare criticize the previous games, then buy this game and criticize it? Fuck you. I hope your family dies in a fire.
Whoa.
Man, Jonah.
Oh, and people are going, oh, he's so funny. No, I'm not. I hope they die in a fire. I hope a rabid pit bull bites off your testicles. Seriously. You have no fucking right to ever complain, because here's the thing about me. I have not bought a single NBA game in 6 years. Not bought a single one. I did not give them one penny of my money. It's either a rental or Game Pass or a review copy. I have not given them a single penny. 12 million copies of NBA 2K20 have been sold.
Yeah, it was like the highest selling game of its month.
12 million copies, and each person is complaining. Fuck you! You desire to die slowly of coronavirus. Fuck you a million times. Because here's what you can do. How about not buying the next game? You don't have to buy it every year. Here's the thing you know about FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. Guess what? I never fear missing out. I don't mind missing out. If people just played NBA 2K19 and not bought NBA 2K20, then 2K would feel the pinch. I mean, if they only sold 5 million copies instead of 12 million, they would have gotten burned, because it is not cheap to have the NBA and the NBA Players Association licenses. It is not cheap to the amount of work that goes into this game. Well, I don't know how much work has actually gone into the game. But you do not deserve to criticize. I'm sorry. Don't buy it. There's nothing. You want to buy a yearly product now? Seriously? And you know it's going to be bad. You know it's going to be bad. You know it's not. You're going to give it a one-star review. So you're giving 2K $60 a year, and then complain about it. This is like when they people started complaining about $15 map packs in Call of Duty. No one cares. You bought them game, and guess what? 2K doesn't look at those review bombs. They don't care. It's their your money they want, and their money they got. They got your money. They don't give a shit. And you're going to give them more money to spend out for VC? I will not pay a single penny on this game that I don't have to. I don't care. I don't care. I mean, I haven't paid a single penny, and I still feel like I got ripped off. And it's a self-perpetual thing. And, you know, at some point, someone's going to have to make an NBA game that's worth shit. EA's given up. Twice now.
The best-selling game of 2019. NBA 2K20 was the best-selling game of 2019.
Yeah, I figure when they get those dollars in, they just don't care about the design. They just ship out the next one, add a few more names to the roster, and be done with it. That's really a shame.
They have your money. They don't care.
That's what I'm saying. They don't care.
That's what Nintendo was with the Wii. Oh, you bought the Wii? Well, we don't care what you do with it because you got your money now.
Mm.
Who cares? You know, it took them two more iterations for them to start feeling the pinch because no one bought the Wii U. At least I can give a Nintendo fans that much credit. Nintendo released the Wii U. Nintendo fans said, fuck you. Fuck you. We're not going to buy it. How about getting your new casual fan base to buy it? Oh, that's right. They don't care. They don't care about the Wii U because they already have the Wii. Why would we need another console? That's who Nintendo attracted. You think grandma wants to buy the Wii U? No. And that's what has to happen here. I mean, look at Microsoft. Microsoft, you know, under Don Matrick, did some of the most fan-unfriendly things imaginable. The original Xbox One was going to be online only. It wasn't going to have a hard drive. It was going to have all these features that no one liked. Microsoft saw the writing on the wall, said, oh, shit, we better change this. The damage was already done. But now it forced itself into looking into other ways that were more consumer-friendly to make money. And they hit on it with the Game Pass. Now they realize, you know what? The console doesn't mean that much. The Game Pass is where it's at. You know? And they're doing some other friendly stuff, too. I mean, backwards compatibility, cross-platform play. Sony's learning something. It's going to be in the news items, I believe, I included. Yeah. Sony's figuring out some stuff that Microsoft already knew. and, you know, but here's the thing. No one with NBA 2K has bothered to do that little revolt. Nope. They complain and still buy the game. And you have, because here's the thing. I do the right thing, but it doesn't matter because I'm one person out of 12 million. Do you think anybody, so 2K is going to care that I held out? No, because 11,999,999 other people did not.
Maybe they'll figure it out on the next one.
I doubt it. It's the past 6 fucking years. No. And I still have, hey, you know what I say is I have the Xbox 360. I have the NBA 2K I like. It doesn't have the My Career mode, which I like. But you know what? It's not worth it. And I'm going to probably delete it off my hard drive because it's taking up space, and I don't want it to take up space. But thank you, Microsoft, for having Game Pass, so I didn't have to wait for the rental to come in to know that NBA 2K20 is a piece of shit. Another disappointment is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Although it's not the kind of disappointment that that is NBA 2K20. It's a good game, but its main problem I have with it is it wants to be everything. It wants to be Dark Souls. It wants to be Tenchu. It wants to be Tomb Raider. It wants to be all these other games. I just pick one and stick with it. I don't like the puzzles in Fallen Order. They're dumb. And by dumb, I mean they're obscure and you have to look them up and say, oh, okay. And, you know, if you're going to do Dark Souls combat, just stick with that. Okay? Just stick with that. If you're going to do Tenchu, stick with that. But if you're going to do exploration, you better get it right. You know, a lot of games have that little glowing yellow thing, you know, like you see in Fable, to make sure you're going the right way. This game does not have that. And once I got lost in a cavern, and there was no way to figure out what was going on, even with their shitty little virtual 3D map, I said, forget it. I'm done. I'm glad I didn't buy it. Try before you buy, folks. Try before you buy. There are no more demos anymore. So video rentals are your, which is what makes me worried about digital stuff, because you can't rent digital.
I recently played a demo of a game. Nintendo Switch has demos.
But then again, the Switch doesn't really have an online store that's worth shit. So they know that their main consumer is going to be buying physical copies.
I've been buying digital, so.
You have, but most people won't.
I don't know. I didn't really like the glowing breadcrumb trail that was in Fable.
You can turn that off in a lot of games. Yeah. I know that for a fact. But I'm just saying, if you're going to have a game that's all about exploration,
you'd like to have that option.
If you're going to make a game that's all about exploration of complicated things, then you better have that glowing thing. Fable had it. If you had a target, it would show you where to go. I don't know. I've also started doing Subnautica.
Yeah, you like that?
That's okay. I built the air filter, which means I can go under for longer periods of time. I have the capability to build the pipes that allow you to pump air into another section once you start researching that. So I finally figured out how to make water. The thing that I know that I'm going to have to figure out how to do is make a refrigeration unit. Mm-hmm. Because after you cook those fish, they go bad.
Yeah. It's a
and
rotting
the worst thing. Part isn't that they give you less health. It's that bad fish also take away water. And you'll find yourself dehydrated faster than you possibly know. And once I accidentally pressed the wrong mouse button, instead of transferring them to a different container, I ate them and I just died of dehydration.
Oh, geez, yeah, that is a tough game, very tough for the Spiral, because you have dehydration, hunger, I think you have exhaustion, too, as well, or something.
Yeah, but a lot of it is, here's the thing, a lot of it is problem-solving. Yeah, you have to catch fish, cook them, and eat them, or you have to find a special fish that, when you process it, it turns into water. But I know that, at some point, you get that won't be a problem anymore, because you'll have ways to store food, make food, keep it fresh, sort of stuff, So a lot of the game is, this is a problem until it's no longer a problem anymore.
Yeah, until you build up your tech level to make it easier to go out farther and longer and do other stuff.
I mean, the game, I just got to the point where the game says, you might want to have a radiation suit, and here's how to build it. You don't have the ingredients yet, but here's how to build it.
Right.
Because you can't get near the main ship without it.
Yeah, you have to wait until it explodes, or the engine explodes.
Even before it explodes, there's a lot of radiation around the engine, so I couldn't.
And, you have to just go around with your scanner, scanning everything until you find the blueprints to build what you need.
I had a major success just being able to build my knife for the first time. I have a knife! Woo! I have to figure out how to chip away at these things, which you can't just punch with your fist.
Yeah, I had trouble playing it on the console, because I find it's not as precise as a mouse when you do the looking around, and I'm always missing what I'm trying to target at.
I finally maxed out the Watcher character from Slay the Spire. So it's going to be interesting to see if I can get her to finish off the final boss, who's really irritating as hell. You kill him. Oh, by the way, he resurrects. You have to kill him twice. Although there is a card that she gets. It's called Alpha. Use Alpha, it turns to Beta. When you turn Beta, when you use Beta, it turns to Gamma. So when you have Gamma, it does the enemy 50 damage each and every turn afterwards. The thing that I have to figure out how to do is, at that point, make sure that I have a lot of defenses in addition to offenses. So what I have to do is just wait around and watch them, just their life tick away, 50 points at a time. I mean, that's one way to win it with her, but that's my preferred way. I mean, with the guy who does poison, I just like to poison people and kill them that way. That's my favorite way of doing it. And when you have get the ability to triple poison and start having like 120 poison. So yeah.
You have a poison deck.
Yeah. I don't like the first guy you get who's basically just attack and defend and that's about it. Not only is he boring, he's also the weakest when it comes to later enemies because he's too basic. I don't know, maybe there's a card combo that makes him uber powerful. I mean, there's always a card combo in every character that makes him uber powerful. The only time I ever beat the major boss was with the third guy, the robot. And he's nice because, you don't have cards for block or attack? Well, guess what? When he has orbs that can do that for you without having to spend a card. So there's that. Anyways, what have you been playing, TJ? Maybe something that hasn't been making you want to wish death on other people. TJ's mic is off.
Uh-oh.
Scott, nothing. What have you been playing?
Okay.
I've just been playing Minecraft, building up a village for my castle area.
I haven't gotten back to Minecraft yet. There's just been too much going on.
Yeah, there's another update coming, which adds more biomes. I don't know if we discussed that or not.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. I am looking forward to Animal Crossing coming March 20th, so I'll probably be getting that, and I'll be playing with my family with it, so I'll definitely report on that when we get the game.
Yeah, Animal Crossing, where you think you're the mayor of the town, really the town is your boss.
Hey, you can still do whatever the heck you want.
Here's the thing. I remember watching a zero punctuation thing in which he noted that once you pay off your debt, you have nothing to do, so you have to intentionally get debt to have something to do. And he says, this is your life. Debt is your life. And you can't back away because if you go away for a month, you come back, it's like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. It's like the wasteland. Why did you leave us?
Yeah, they're all sad, and there's weeds everywhere, and you have to clean them. And the little the sloth guy, garden guy, goes into trauma because he can't believe there's so many weeds, and he's like begging you to go clean them.
Entire place revolves around you, and if you leave for even, it's worse than a Tamagotchi. At least the Tamagotchi dies. You just make them suffer.
Yeah, your villagers can randomly move away if you are gone for a long period of time and you can't tell them to stay. They'll just be gone when you come back.
Yeah. Where the heck is... TJ, you there?
I'm still here. I'm just not talking. I turned my mic on before, right as you were asking Scott what he was playing.
So what have you been playing, TJ?
Nothing that makes me that angry, because nothing makes me that angry.
Good for you, TJ.
Although I have been playing a ridiculous game that I didn't like that much. And not because, like, it was bad. Well, no. There were parts of it that were bad, but I wanted to like it. It was called Save Coke. And, this is silly. They released it on Steam last year, and they released it on Nintendo Switch just, last week. And it's a game where you play as a crime lord of a city that basically you find out that somebody is trying to kill you, and your team takes you to a safe room, and you have 7 days from your safe room that play out like in real time in the game to figure out if there's a mole in your organization, who they are, and who the mastermind of your murder plot is.
Yeah. By the way, for those who don't know, when he said save Coke, it's not Coca-Cola, it's K-O-C-H.
So. Yeah. And you have these three – you have access to your security chief, and then you have three operatives that all specialize in different things. And you're supposed to like basically use a little iPad to send them out to follow up – to find certain leads and collect clues. And then use your board to try to like gather information and figure out who is with you and who's against you. And there are different factions in the city that have different events that play out through the week, and you have to sort of pay attention to what they're doing. And
a lot of storylines in this thing.
It's random.
Yeah,
the mastermind is and who the mole is going to be random each time you play.
So here's the thing, you know, you have three operatives, and, you know, each of them have their own specializations, and the thing is that each of them you can't trust because you're in deep water and you're relying on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there are multiple storylines going on. You have to juggle all. You know, it reminds me of my game, the game that was my game of the year 2 years ago about Cult Simulator. I mean, this is a little bit more straightforward than Cultist Simulator, but it's a lot because you play the game with cards, and you have to play these cards, and you have to figure out how where to distribute them and what you want to do, or at least it's like a board with all these cards, you know, with these lines attaching, like, he's associated with this, and they're associated with this, and this is associated with this, and you have to figure out who's what, and what's, and where's where, you know. When they say a web of entry, they mean, there's literally a web in front of you that you have to deal with.
Yes. And, like, it has to be one of the most brutally hard things I've ever played.
Yeah, I had a friend, and he said that he played, like, 28 times and only won once.
Yes, that was my experience as well. I played the game for a view. I played it, and I gave it a lot of time. Like, I played this thing, like, at least 25 times. There was a night where I said, I'm not going to go to bed until I crack a winning solution out of this.
Oh, I found your review. It was posted yesterday.
And I was up until, and I was up until 7 a.m. the next morning. And it's like, so like the issue, so like the difficulty lies in the fact that there are so many different
storylines,
leads that you can send. Well, there's so many different leads that you can send your operatives on, and if you choose wrong, it could end in failure, or it could end in that operative being killed, and then they're replaced with like a generic squad that like isn't specialized in anything and is very bad for a lot of leads. So you like if you lose one of your three operatives, and this is if one of your operatives is also the mole, because if you pick them as the mole, then they're removed from play. If you lose one of your operatives and their specializations, you are like hobbled. And what I mean by that is like I got to the end of the game. And I finally got to like where I was close to a winning solution, and I needed a talk, like a specialization in negotiations to talk to a mayor, and then I needed a specialization in sneaking to sneak one of my operatives into where they needed to be to kill the mastermind. Well, my thief got killed early in the match, and so I had no thief to send as a sneaky operative to sneak them in, so I lost right at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. I found a review, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Save Coke is a web of deadly storylines with so many pitfalls upon each thread that even a single victory will feel like the most glorious thing, even if I lost my crime lord's daughter to a bomb and his livelihood to a government raid in the process.
Yes.
So you won. You won, quotation
marks. But at severe cost. And, like, and the other part is that there's no saves. Like, you know what? It made me think about Papers, Please, because Papers, Please is like when you're going into it, it's also very hard. It's also very difficult when you don't understand the rules right away.
Can I accept it for a second?
Go ahead.
Papers, Please is easy for me. I don't know what it is. I'm just able to process all the information and catch all little things. I've gone through one which I didn't receive a single citation.
But what I'm saying is that Papers, Please is difficult going in and learning and when you start, and you just have to learn all those rules and understand the process. But what Paper and Save Coke,
by the way,
can be a
Please also allows you to start any place on your game save. So if you like it,
that's what
level,
I'm getting
you
at. Though.
You know, I'm going to start back on the third level again.
That's what I'm getting at is that Papers, Please gives you the benefit of being able to save on each day.
Well,
Save Coke
saves on each day.
Save Coke doesn't have a save system. You play the session all the way from beginning to end. The only thing that you can do is quit out and pick up the session where you left off. You have to play it from beginning to when you fail or when you succeed.
Okay, here's the thing I think they're doing with this game is that it's less about winning and more about the story you're making. Like, yeah, there's a million ways to fail, but...
That's great, until you fail for, like, the 16th time, and you start to get deflated by the idea that the game is literally just fucking you over at every turn.
I don't know, because I've played games like this, you know, trader games, you know, both tabletop and also online, like Town of Salem, and losing is just a way of life in those type of games. So in this kind of game... The only problem I really have with Cultist Simulator is because I could not figure out how to advance very far.
I wish that, like I mentioned it in the review, I wish Save Coke had like a book, like a save system just for like a day. You take the choices that you made on that day and then you go forward with them. That's all I want. And like the fact of the matter is it's hard to... The game is so breakneck paced, like time moves fast in that game, and it's really kind of hard to like, it's hard to read everything and like divulge and like dissect the information because
yeah,
you're.
I mean, here's the thing. There's a game which I love, a board game, and it's called Battlestar Galactica, which is based on the TV show, and it also is. I mean, it's player versus player. Well, it's team versus team, but. That game allows you to have a slow death. You know, it's sort of like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, things are going bad, things are going bad, things are going bad. How do I get out of this, you know? It's always weighted on the side of the Cylons, but what I'm saying is if they ever made a game like that, I would want it to be a nice slow burn.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm saying here is that Save Coke moves very fast. Like, the time is super quick. And by the way, that's a part of the game is that like some of the leads have timers on them, and if you have an operative on one lead, you can't call them back. They have to finish whatever they're doing, and so you really got to pick and choose which leads you're chasing because some will pop up and you'll just have to let them go. And that makes sense. But the fact of the matter is, I also didn't like the game's UI on a Nintendo Switch because it didn't have like a cursor system. It literally just makes you use the D-pad to go back and forth between items. And when there's a ton of leads on the screen, that is a problem.
But you know,
There were several times where there were like five leads in one district, and I was trying to get to the one sitting in the middle, and I'm just like pressing left and right and up and down and trying to get there, and it won't take me to the one I want, and I'm just like, and then it disappears, and I'm sad.
Well, here's the thing. One, it's different. It's different. You know, it's something that's different, and that's worth a golf clap. But here's the other thing: are you looking forward to a Save Coke 2?
I would like
you
to.
You are. I can already tell you are because what you want is very easily remedied in a sequel.
Yes. Give me a save system and make the UI not trash, and I will play the fuck out of this.
Or maybe, you know, forget the save system because I can see where they don't want you to have a save system in something like this in which they want your content. Just make it slower and more deliberate so that you can at least if you see yourself losing, you have time to enjoy the losing.
You know what's really, really stressful about it? You have phone calls that happen where you talk to people like and learn information, and they move at a very methodic pace while things are happening, while things are still moving in real time.
Oh, God. You know what'd be great is if the game was really slow and allowed you to take notes, and you still couldn't win that easily. It's like I don't mind a game in which it's you know. It's hard for you to win because I play FTL all the time. I have never, ever, ever, ever defeated the Rebel base.
Right.
Seldom. Most of the time, I don't even reach the Rebel base. But at least it affords me the time in certain periods to stop, take assessment, because there are those empty planets, empty galaxies, and all that stuff where you're not fighting anybody. Or after a battle, you can just sit there and wait, you know, while you look at your ship and look at the damage and see what's going on, you know, and all that stuff. I think, actually, you know what, Save Coke. It's probably more like FTL than it is Papers, Please. It's probably FTL, and which is why it needs those breaks in between.
Yes. Like I said, I really enjoyed Safe Coke's narrative. I enjoyed the pressure. It's not that it was hard. It's
yeah, but you know, FTL has a ton of pressure, too.
Yes, but FTL has an ability to stop the game.
Well, here's the thing. FTL, it's like slow. Oh shit, battle. Even if you're doing pauses during the battle, so like, oh god, oh no, he's gonna shoot. Oh, my ship's on fire. I have to open up all the airlocks so I can depressurize the ship and get rid of. Oh god, no, one of my guys died. Oh, there's intruders.
This would be a better game played on Steam. I would play the Steam version because you can probably use a mouse to click on the lead.
Say that you played the Switch version of this.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Is that the UI is bad on Switch because you have to go back and forth via the D-pad. I'm willing to bet that if you played this on Steam, you can use the mouse and you can click on the leads.
I might try it out on Steam. You know, like I said, when something is different, that's worth a golf clap at the very least.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like I said, I like the story.
$20 on Steam. Okay.
Yeah. I like the story. I like the narrative. I like the pressure of all those things. I just don't like not having the ability to save at any point during a session, and I don't like when a UA makes me feel like I've been cheated.
So what I'm looking at, see, it's gotten mostly positive reviews on Steam, but the negatives are basically, one, buggy.
Yeah, you know what?
One of them says that the game runs while the screens are up, so you can't read the story because time is ticking away.
Yes. One of the things that, I did – you know, I didn't have too many issues with bugs, but there was one that, really fucking screwed me, is that one of my operatives was on a lead, and there's, a little circle of time that fills around them as the lead is going, and they're dealing with whatever the situation is. And one of my operatives, the circle filled all the way and then just stayed filled, and they never came back. That only happened once, thankfully, but it was upsetting. Because, again, it's the type of game where, you lose an operative, you get crippled, you lose the game.
See, but that's the thing about an indie game like this, is that the developers are going to be reading your review, you know. They'll be reading the Steam reviews, and they'll be taking notes because, you know, they have pressure to make a game that everybody wants to play. So, like I said, at least it's an original concept. No one's done it. And if there's a sequel, I'm willing to bet you there'll be lines. It reminds me of Assassin's Creed. Remember, Assassin's Creed, the first game, took a lot of shit from people.
Mm-hmm.
And Assassin's Creed 2 was a mega seller because, you know, Ubisoft saw what people were complaining about and said, you know what, okay, we'll fix that.
Yeah, I stand by my 6.
No, I mean, it's. Well, here's the thing. The other thing. 6 is not a bad review. I don't know where 6, what's called, mean a game sucks. Here's the thing when I deal with reviews. You know, if a review gets a 6 or 6.5, but it's a genre I'm really interested in, I'll take that. You know?
For sure. 6 is not a death warrant. What it means is that I really enjoyed the game, but there were also things that really, really upset me about it. And I mean, just enough that, I couldn't stop thinking about them as I played the game, because they were always in my face. The game is interesting. It's intriguing. I suggest that people try it on Steam because it's worth trying.
I mean, Kane and Lynch, the first game, was a 6, and I enjoyed it. I mean, the story was dark and depressing, but I knew that coming in. It was depressing in that the characters did things that you did not want them to do, but you understood why it was happening because it's in their character.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Lynch, you know, who... While Kane is it Kane? See, that's the one problem with Kane Lynch. What their names? You know, I know what they look like, you know, but I don't know which one is which in terms of the names. Okay, so it's Lynch. So Lynch is a guy who's a fucking psychopath. But the tragedy thing is that he's a murderous psychopath and he doesn't want to be. And so he has to be on pills. And there's a scene in Kane and Lynch which really depresses me, in that for whatever reason Kane is unconscious and all that. He comes back and Lynch has murdered all of the hostages. And when asked why, he says, I don't know. That's depressing. Because you know that Lynch wants to be a good person. But he's just too fucking psychotic to be able to do anything about it. And these two guys hate each other for obvious reasons. But it's like they have great chemistry even though they hate each other. and they're absolutely wrong for each other. And so that's why they were going to make a movie out of it. It's so nihilistic, but yet so engaging. And I didn't mind, you know, GameSpot gave it a 6 review. That's not a bad review. And I wish, who the publisher was. I forgot who the publisher was. But they should have just let it be. If they had, you know, if they hadn't made a stink about a 6 review for a game that was being advertised heavily, then no one would have cared. Did either of you?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play Kane and Lynch, but there are definitely games out there that I've, factually hated because they were just complete piles of shit and a complete mess. Oh my god, what was the name of it wasn't Operation Raccoon City. Oh, it was Umbrella Corps. Umbrella Corps was a fucking mess. And that was Capcom's follow-up on Operation Raccoon City, where you where it was a third-person shooter where you play as Umbrella agents. It was wretched. Like, frame rate, mechanics, everything was terrible.
I don't know. The movie Kane and Lynch currently has Gerard Butler and Vin Diesel set to play the title characters. I can see Gerard Butler, but Vin Diesel, no. Because both, you know, Kane has a dad bod, and Lynch is basically a proto GTA 5. Oh god, I keep forgetting his name.
Trevor.
Yeah, it's like in the second game they're both naked, and it's not pleasant to look at. Anyways, we're talking about too many depressing things, so let's talk about something that's positive. Okay, go ahead, teacher.
Another leak points to new Tony Hawk game arriving later this year from Eurogamer. More unauthorized chatter on the internet, this time courtesy of punk band The Def Set, is pointing to the arrival of a new Tony Hawk game later this year. Cast your mind back to late 2019, and you might remember a double whammy of leaks suggesting the new Tony Hawk game was in the works. Pro skateboarder Lizzie Armanto revealed that she was involved in a new title during a chat with the Nine Club podcast, and reliable industry leaker Sabi shared word that a prototype remake of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 had been doing rounds internally at Activision. Adding further fuel to that particular fire, punk band The Death Set announced on Facebook earlier today in a post spotted by Twitter user TheNathanNS and since removed, presumably after polite requests or stern lawyer faces from Activision, that it had just licensed 5 new songs to Tony Hawk to a Tony Hawk 2020 game, and that fans would be hearing this shit soon. Despite mounting evidence, Activision has remained tight-lipped regarding a new Tony Hawk game for this or any other future year. It has been 5 years since the poorly received Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 released.
I think it's going to be a remaster, and the reason why they have new music for it is because they probably no longer have licensed music. That was for Tony Hawk 1 and 2, and they need new music for it that they don't have to renew the license for. That they can get a different, different bands and just update it with new music. And I know it's going to suck for a lot of people who are really into the soundtracks from Tony Hawk 1 and 2, but reality is reality. Music licensing is tricky, and that's why a lot of games haven't been re-released. Like, there's a reason why you haven't seen a re-release of... oh shit, what's it called again? Jet Set Radio Future. And I love the music from Jet Set Radio Future. It introduced me to Sebo Matto. But I know there's a lot of people who want a Tony Hawk 6.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you're right. The soundtrack is a huge part of Tony Hawk. It's kind of like... Yes, it's also the gameplay, which is why Tony Hawk 5 was so poorly received. But I would say the soundtrack is just as much of a character in those games.
Yeah. Although I wonder, how hard is it to get mid-90s music these days?
Some of those licenses are probably like either dead or just like, I don't know. Like who owns the rights to Real Big Fish these days?
I would guess BMI, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Or And here's a more intriguing thing. Maybe they do have licensed that music, and they're just adding more music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they think that kids of today won't like late 90s music, mid 90s and late 90s music or something. When did the first Tony Hawk come out?
Goodness,
look this up. First Tony Hawk, 1999. Okay. So yeah, late 90s, early 2000s music.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. I know a lot of people like Skate, and I do believe a new Skate game is coming. But the thing about Tony Hawk was that it was easy to play. You didn't really need to be, you know, you didn't really need to be that great a boarder, you know, because Skate tries to mimic really having a roller, you know, a skateboard. Well, Tony Hawk was basically just doing a lot of moves to freak combos and get a... And I will say this, when I bought the original Xbox Classic, I got three games. One was Halo, another one I forgot, but the other one was Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2X.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater X?
2X.
2X.
Yeah, 2X. I don't know why it was called 2X. It was just called 2X. I think it was because it was a remastered version. Pro Skater 2X, I think it was called for the Xbox. Did you play Tony Hawk, Scott?
I think I played one a long time ago. I'm not sure which version it was. I'm not really big into that kind of game, but I know a lot of people had a lot of fun playing that, doing tricks with it, and it seemed like it was a good game, and so I guess either remaster or a new one is probably a good idea, because I don't think I've seen Tony Hawk game in a very long time, so it might be a good idea to have one, a new one come out for people that might like this kind of game.
Yeah, actually, you know, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2X had both full career modes of Pro Skater and Pro Skater 2. So, and a shorter career mode that's exclusive to 2X. So I wonder they'll be essentially doing that. But yeah, I mean, you know, Tony Hawk's getting up there. He can't make many more games. And Pro Skater 5. The only reason why Pro Skater 5 is that they could keep the license, and they rushed it really, really fast. It was unfinished when they released it, which people probably already could tell when they played it. It was barely able to run. So, yeah. When did Pro Skater 5 come out? That was like, they said in the article, didn't they?
Like 2015 or something.
Yeah, 2015. So it's been 5 years. I think people are ready for a new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I think the bad taste in their mouth should be gone.
I mean, everybody's been asking for either Tony Hawk to make a good game or Skate 3.
Remember when Tony Hawk tried to push that bad skateboard controller? That didn't work at all. That was, I think, what was the name of that game? The one with the bad controller. You remember you had to stand on it? I think it was Project 8?
I think...
One of them had the bad controller that everybody hated. Oh no!
Wasn't it called Project Skate?
No, I don't think so. Maybe it was Skate Jam? No. Anyways, it was just really terrible. So, we're going to move on to the next item. And go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Heroes. Horizon Zero Dawn. I know, I got it. I saw the H and the zero, and then my brain went, Hero.
You were thinking Zelda, weren't you?
Okay. No, it just, my brain does that sometimes. Anyways, we'll start over. Horizon Zero Dawn is coming to PC this summer. This is from PC Gamer. PlayStation exclusive Horizon Zero Dawn is exclusive no more. Sony has finally confirmed that the open world robot dinosaur romp is coming to PC this summer. After months of rumors, head of Sony Worldwide Studios and former managing director of Guerrilla Herman Hulse dropped the nugget in a PlayStation blog interview. Yes, I can confirm the Horizon Zero Dawn is coming to PC this summer, he said, adding that more details from Guerrilla's new studio directors will be coming soon. The store page is now up on Steam, too, and gives us a bit more to go on, though there are no system requirements yet. Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition will include Horizon Zero Dawn, the Frozen Wilds Expanse, Karja Storm Ranger outfit, and I don't know if it's Karja or Karja. Anyways, Mighty Bow, Karja Trader Pack, Bunyunk Trailblazer outfit, and Bunyunk Culling Bow, and a Travel Pack, and Nora Keeper Pack. Is basically, I guess, all the DLC that they had is now in this, so
yeah, I mean,
that looks like
they had good. In the Horizon Zero D Complete Edition PS4 as well.
Okay, so that's, yeah. This is the same as what's in the PS4's version, digital art book and dynamic theme. There's no word on what the PC exclusive features it might have, if any. It might have, like, soundtrack, maybe. The store page also uses PS4 Pro screenshots, so we're still waiting for the first look at the port. According to Hulse, Sony is open to new ideas of how to introduce more people to PlayStation, but that doesn't mean it plans to release a lot more PS4 games on PC. A job listing for Last of Us 2 suggested that a PC port might be on the cards, but Sony's not ready to reveal any more ports. To maybe put a few minds at ease, releasing one first-party AAA title to PC doesn't necessarily mean that every game will now come to PC, Holt said. In my mind, Horizon Zero Dawn was just a great fit in this particular instance. We don't have plans for day-and-date PC releases, and we remain 100% committed to dedicated hardware.
Meanwhile, Microsoft says, you know what? Every single first-party game is going to be on PC day one, as the same as the Xbox One. And oh, by the way, if you have Game Pass, you'll be able to get it for free. So it's not
Microsoft is saying,
"Oh, don't worry, we're not abandoning our hardware because we're releasing one game on PC." No, Microsoft's saying, "Fuck it! It's not only is it going to be on Windows 10, it's also going to be on Steam. We're putting Halo on Steam. How do you like them apples?"
Yeah, because Microsoft doesn't say no to money. I'm glad that it's coming to PC. It looks like a good game. I've always been interested in that one. And I like to play that on PC, I think.
I just played Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, I played it beginning to end. I love that game, and I'm happy that other people will get to play it.
And you know, here's the thing. If a lot of people buy it on Steam, Sony may think, oh, wait a minute. Releasing games on PC actually makes us a lot of money.
We like money, too. That's right.
And if the PS5 doesn't sell, because, people have been shooting me articles about the PlayStation 5 having two SKUs, one of them $500, the other one $600. And remember what I was saying is that they're going to make sure that their first-party releases are all on PS5 and not on PS4. To try and convince people to buy the PS5 because they're not going to be able to play first-party titles on PS4 anymore, it's like they better have a second outlet for money. Because $600 is a big ask. $500 is a big ask, but $600 is a really big ask.
I've seen people speculating that Sony may move into a mindset where they keep exclusivity for 6 months to a year and then just like do as they're doing with Horizon and release it on other systems.
I thought that was the pattern.
Well, remember, the Major League Baseball is twisting their arm and forcing them to go multi-platform with their baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that sells well, Sony may say, wait a minute. This is
Horizon,
just money.
Horizon needs to be multi-platform anyways because there are a lot of games that use Horizon content that are multi-platform, including Monster Hunter World, where there are several Horizon Zero Dawn like equipment events. And it's just kind of a bummer that you can't get in on those events on Monster Hunter World on PC because fucking PlayStation won't let people use Horizon Zero Dawn content on PC. So this is also good for the fact that like finally people that have been playing Monster Hunter World on PC will be able to do Horizon Zero Dawn events.
Yeah, I'm burned out on open world games, though. I mean, We'll see. You know, maybe I'll get it on sale, on a Steam sale sometime just to see what it's like. But I know that the story's already been spoiled for me, so it's just going to be a matter of playing it. And basically, who doesn't want to hunt robot dinosaurs anyway?
Yes, and the gadgets are really fun. Like, the weapons in the game are quite fun.
On to the next item. Now, here's the thing. I got an email from Electronic Arts this morning. Or I don't know when I got it. But it was just... It made my eyes just raise a bit. Because I was wondering, why are they sending me this email? So it made me have to do a search, right? Just to find out. And what they had sent me was this little tidbit. They said, EA Sports is the exclusive publisher of NFL simulation games, and our partnership with the NFL and NFLPA remains unchanged. Our agreements have always been allowed for non-exclusive development of non-simulation games on various platforms, blah, 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 and I'm trying to figure out why are they sending me this out of the blue. So I had to do a search, and yeah, there's a reason why they're sending this out. So the article is, 2K returns to making NFL video games, but not a Madden competitor. This is from Polygon. 2K is getting back into the officially licensed football game business, having struck a multi-year partnership with the NFL that covers, quote-unquote, multiple future video games, the parties announced Tuesday. But don't call it a comeback. The deal is for, quote-unquote, non-simulation football game experiences, according to a news release from 2K. So it doesn't give the publisher the ability to revive its dearly departed NFL 2K franchise. Madden's NFL series will remain the only football simulation game in the market, for now at least. The agreement between 2K and the NFL, which the parties did not disclose financial terms, will produce, quote-unquote, multiple video games centered on fun, approachable social experiences. This suggests that the publisher will be focusing on making games such as an arcade-style sports titles in the vein of Saber Interactive's NBA 2K Playgrounds 2. It also makes me think of these mini-games that you play, you know, on cell phones and stuff like that. Like, it's going to be... I don't know if anybody ever saw the comic book NFL Pro, but basically sort of that sort of thing, like Sneak King from McDonald's, from Burger King, I mean. You know, these, say, a platformer with NFL players, that sort of thing. But I can't help but think this is a shot across Electronic Arts' bow.
Mm-hmm. Like, I would... kind of love to see NFL 2K come back, even if...
it's going to be DC-infested garbage, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, like, it's not just like NBA that 2K that has been bad. WWE 2K has been bad. And there are several other 2K games
at least the WWE game was bad in the traditional way of just being very badly made, and it wasn't a microtransaction hell.
Yeah, I just, like, I long for the days of, like, early NFL 2K. Like, even the last one, NFL 2K5, ESPN NFL 2K5, was pretty decent.
05, you mean.
But we are a long ways away from those days, and I feel like 2K is a very different company than it was then.
I mean, you know what I would love is if they were just release a remaster of NFL 2K15. There's a remaster for $20 on Xbox Live Arcade or whatever they call it now. It's not going to happen, but, you know, that's why I have an Xbox 360. Because I can play those damn games.
Yeah. I mean, if it's garbage, it's garbage. But, like, what is a non-simulation NFL 2K game?
Oh, you know, like I said, imagine a platformer with the person wearing an NFL uniform.
Huh.
You know, stuff like that. Oh, you know what I could easily picture, though? And I know this would really get you up, TJ. Imagine a VR game. In which you're just not even playing a football game, just doing carnival games, like having to throw a football through a hoop, you know, and you actually have to throw the football with your actual throwing motion with a VR.
Hmm.
Can you imagine that?
Sounds like a broken window waiting to happen with your VR controller.
But anyways, you know, just it's just going to be silly stuff, you know. Although they did say what isn't covered by that with EA's earlier press release is that they did stuff like simulation games like Out of the Park Baseball that wasn't a wasn't a simulation. It was basically a text management game, you know, and EA actually released one of those. It was called EA Head Coach, and it sucked. But, you know, I can picture 2K doing that. So, we don't know. But here's the thing. I can't help but wonder if the NFL looked at what the MLB was doing and said, wait a minute, they're doing that. We should do the same thing, you know? Because, you know, MLB threatened Sony. No, 2K would love to have a baseball game. EA would love to have a baseball game again. You better make it multi-platform, or we're gonna ask them to make our game for us. And I wonder if the NFL said, you know what? You better let 2K do some other football stuff because you know our brand is decreasing with just having one platform. The other interesting thing is that their partnership, EA's and 2K's, ends after the 2021 NFL season, which means 2022. So you have to wonder if it's just a matter of time when that contract is up and it expires, if the NFL is going to say, okay, whoever wants it can get it. Because, you know, one company having the license will get the money, but more than one company having the license will make them even more money.
Yeah, I mean, there's no harm in playing the field if a certain license is up, because why not? Especially, and I mean, like, ultimately the goal for NFL is to make more money, isn't it?
Yeah, and here's the other thing, is that unlike NBA 2K, Madden, while not a great game, comparatively to NBA 2K20, Madden has not shit the bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a good enough game. Unfortunately, you know, their version of the online stuff are Madden cards, you know, which I never deal with. But at least when EA does their microtransaction thing, it's a separate whole other game that has nothing to do with the main game. FIFA's, game cards or whatever it's called. I forgot what they're called. But they do it with FIFA. They do it with Madden, you know, the card game.
It's FIFA Ultimate Team.
Yeah, the Ultimate Team stuff. The Madden Ultimate Team, the FIFA Ultimate Team. At least that's a separate from the main game. The issues I have with Madden, the gameplay, is that the DBs are too psychic, you know, and all this other rigmarole. It's not a microtransaction hell because they move the microtransaction hell elsewhere away from me. They involve my career in NBA 2K with the microtransaction hell. As a matter of fact, it's the focus of microtransaction hell because it's the my career players that you play online with other people. At least Madden segregates that shit away from what I care about. So when Sega comes in, not Sega, 2K comes in, hopefully it'll push EA into improving the main Madden game. Because that's why Madden 05 was almost as equally good as NFL 2K5. Because they were pushing each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there are some people who preferred Madden 05 because it had certain things it was doing right, like with the quarterback play. But, you know, once NFL 2K was out of the picture, then I just saw the decline.
Yeah, and like ultimately, like you say, competition is good for everyone. It makes everybody try to step up their game. It makes mechanics improve. It makes people try to one-up each other. And it's the fact of the matter is that the whole thing that stops that is licensing. And I mean, I get it because, like, licensing is attached to everything nowadays, and especially licensing over, like, the personas that are used, like Madden players – giving their likeness away, which was a huge problem for like NCAA because the NCAA didn't want people to get paid for their likenesses. But it's always been like a minefield. Legal, like that kind of law is like the most ridiculously complicated there is. And unfortunately, licensing stifles creativity in a lot of ways, which is not to say that it shouldn't exist because people deserve to have their intellectual property protected in some way or another.
Yeah, it's interesting is that what's interesting to me is that ever since Konami became a non-entity when it came to soccer, because they still make a soccer game, but it's almost a non-entity right now. The review scores on Metacritic for FIFA 20 have been 1.1. You know, FIFA was good until Konami started shitting the bed itself. And NHL is still okay. I mean, it gets bad user scores, but at least it's not 1.1.
Mm-hmm. Pro Evolution Soccer was like so bad for a while that it just completely disappeared, and then it made a couple years of comeback, and now it's like, where is it now?
I think it's called E Pro Soccer. They added an E in front of it, which makes me makes it sound like they were trying to an esports thing. Yeah, it's called eFootball Pro Evolution Soccer 2020. Doesn't that just trip off the tongue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't understand why they changed it this late in the game.
I mean, it's still getting okay reviews, but it's a non-entity.
Mm-hmm. I never hear anyone say anything about it anymore.
Anyways, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast, subscribe to us on iTunes, and leave some iTunes comments. Scott is looking forward to Animal Crossing on the 20th. I forgot the subtitle of it.
New Horizons.
New Horizons.
Oh, that's an original title.
Animal Crossing's New Horizons Zero Dawn of... Dawn of the Dead.
Do we even know what's new about it?
Lot.
You're on a deserted island this time.
Okay.
You can actually gather resources from trees and rocks. You can landscape. I mean, actually landscape. You can change where the rivers go. You can pole vault over rivers. There's leaf piles. There's what else was there? Oh, you do crafting now. So you can, like I said, gather resources and you can build your furniture. You could put your furniture outside. I think you could put your furniture on 45 degree angles or at least half blocks. You could play with like at least up to 8 people at the same time on the same console or online.
It looks cartoonier.
4 people on the same console, 8 people online.
It's a lot more cartoony this time around, but I think that's because the graphic capabilities are so much higher that it can make it really cartoony.
It looks a lot nicer, I think. It's cleaner.
I mean, it's higher resolution.
Yeah, higher res, and just it feels more real. I know it's a little bit weird to say cartoony yet real, but yeah, it just has a more vibrant feel to it, I think.
Yeah, because it goes, spring, summer, autumn, fall.
Yeah, it has the seasons, so the real time will still be in there. There'll be holiday events, so that'll still be in there.
Was this the game they said they were going to have check your local weather and make it emulate the weather if you wanted that?
I don't think I remember hearing that, but I guess they could do that.
I just heard that was going to be one of the features. Maybe it was a different game, but...
Yeah, because that might be tricky.
By the way, one thing I found out yesterday that's coming out is that the guys who made Prison Simulator are making a game in which you simulate a school. And it's looking really nice.
Why would you want to play School Simulator? Why would anyone want that?
Have you ever played Prison Simulator?
I've not played Prison Simulator.
There's a reason why. It is a awesome game because of the AI and all the things. You know, that's the big thing about the their games, is that the AI is really, really good, and you have to do a lot of micromanaging in a good way. Like I saw where you have
If you gamify it the correct way, any of that stuff can be fun.
And then you have to build a cafeteria and a lunchroom, and then you have to have a staff area.
I went to high school.
You're a teacher, so why do something you already play in real life?
Yeah. Like, I was already a student. I don't want to do it a second time.
Again, you can make anything fun if you gamify it the right way.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what many people think of Animal Crossing. Like, for me personally, Animal Crossing has never been my jam, but I can see where it is a jam for a lot of people.
Yeah.
My favorite version of Animal Crossing was Graveyard Simulator, and that is because it's macabre and ridiculous and silly to me, and like, in many ways, the same concepts that Animal Crossing is putting forth, but with tombstones and dead people. Which is to say, I guess, like, in a certain way, I could enjoy Animal Crossing if I thought about it that way.
I think Animal Crossing is a lot nicer or friendlier, because like Graveyard's the Graveyard Keeper, pretty much everyone kind of hates you. And
all right, it's called Prison Architect. That was the name of the game.
Yeah, and in Animal Crossing, you're kind of encouraged to socialize with people and talk to them and hang out and do things together and, you know, just be friends. Where in Graveyard Keeper, it was just like, yeah, you're kind of grinding out these bodies. The goat or the donkey hates you and the villagers don't like you. And it's, but it's an interesting.
You become their friends by doing stuff for them, though.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Anyway, the game is called Academia School Simulator. And I still think it's in early access. Yeah, it's still in early access. And the thing is, it's been around for a while, actually. It was released in early access in 2017, so by now it should have a lot more features in it. So that's definitely something I'm going to check out, because Prison Architect is fun, but it's very, very less. It's more esoteric than just building a school. So look up Academia School Simulator, TJ. It's basically Prison Architect, but in school. I wonder if people are saying, well, you know, school and prison, they're both the same thing, really. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chucks.
You can find me at Alpha Shard.
And we will see you next week, and I promise I'm not going to wish death on people.
That would be nice. Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.